Hello, I'm George Sainsbury and welcome to Dog in the Spotlight. And in today's episode, we will be putting the Greyhound under the spotlight. And I'll be interviewing Lowry Cavello Phillips, who has owned Zeta, a rescue greyhound. But before then, let's see dogs in the news. In this week's Dogs in the News, China has stated that dogs should be treated as pets, not livestock, for the first time, a move campaigners hope could signal an end to the country's brutal cat and dog meat trade. It comes after Chinese authorities imposed an immediate ban on eating and trading wild animals in response to the coronavirus, which is believed, but by no means conclusively proven, to have first spread to humans at a wet market in Wuhan. The announcement was published on Wednesday alongside a draft document of the National Catalogue of Livestock and Poultry Genetic Resources. Wow, that's a lot to say, and it sounds very official. And this is a list of the livestock that that can be legally traded for meat, fur and medical purposes in China. While the official list has never included dogs or cats, it is the first time Chinese authorities have explained their omission. The document is open to public consultation until the 8th of May. An estimated 10 million dogs a year are killed for China's dog meat trade, which is thought to be consumed infrequently by less than 20% of the population, according to the Humane Society International. A nationwide survey in 2016 suggested the majority of Chinese citizens think the dog trade should be completely banned, with nearly 70% of those polled having never eaten it. Now, last week, Shenzhen became the first Chinese city to explicitly ban their consumption and production. This is absolutely great news, and hopefully we can see continuing cities continuing to ban this awful and barbaric practice. In this week's Dog in the Spotlight, we'll be looking at the Greyhound. Now, the Greyhound does divide people's opinion. Some people look upon it as skinny, bony, unattractive-looking dog breed, while others see it as a sleek, athletic, beautiful dog breed. And hopefully, after this podcast, you'll really appreciate what amazing dog breed the Greyhound is. Now, the Greyhound is the oldest purebred in the world. There have been records of cave drawings 8,000 years ago. It is the only dog mentioned by name in the Bible. Check you out, Greyhound. And the Egyptians revered them as gods, and only the royalties were allowed to own them. Cleopatra reportedly have a number of greyhounds. In the Roman times, they were bred for hair coursing. And in the 15th century, they made their way to Spain, to America, and they became extremely popular in the colonial times in the Midwest for chasing off crop-destroying jackrabbits. Nowadays, we see them as pets, but also we see them on the racing track. And they still do hair coursing in some countries. And even in some countries, we see them are racing, but there's in some states in America, greyhound racing has been banned. Now, the reason why they're on the racetrack is because they're the fastest dog breed in the world. They can run 45 miles an hour in just 30 feet. So they can get up to that speed within 30 feet. They have a real instinct to chase prey. So that's something you've got to be really wary of when you do come to owning a greyhound. They are sight hounds. So they will hunt using their sight, not their nose. And the reason they've got such good sight is the positioning of their eyes on their skull. They are able to see 270 degrees. That even allows them to see to the back of them, really, which is great. So that is why they are so widely used for hunting hares and rabbits. Now, the greyhound looks delicate, and they are delicate. They have very thin skin in certain areas of their body, especially on their legs, which can cut quite easy as they're running through course, or if you're taking it into the forest, just be wary of that. Also, they do feel the cold. The number of times you're in, especially in the UK, and you go out in the winter, and if you ever see a greyhound, they always have those little jackets on. Now, I live in Chicago. You very, very rarely see a greyhound. And main reason being is they just can't cope with the cold temperatures of Chicago. So be really, really aware of your climate if you're thinking of getting a greyhound. Now, we talked about its instinct to chase prey. They are easily trained. They are quite intelligent dogs. By Stanley Coren, they are the 46th most intelligent dog. But one thing you've got to be really wary of is the recall. Because they have such a drive to chase prey, you could be stood in a park and then your dog's bolts off after something that he's seen move, and you're calling it back and nothing's happening. So from a puppy, either use a whistle or a clap, use treats, but make sure you, before you let it off the lead, that you've got them coming back to you. Now, apartment dogs. When I was looking at dogs, I always think, I live in an apartment, and what is the ideal dog for an apartment? And someone said to you, what about greyhound? And I thought, they're really big and they like running. You couldn't be any further from the truth. Yes, they are big, but they're very cat-like. They love sleeping. They don't need to be constantly exercised. You give them one run a day to get all their energy out, but they much prefer being curled up next to you, watching the telly, just pottering around the apartment. So for an apartment dog, they are brilliant. And one other thing which I read about them, they're not big barkers. And that is an ideal if you're living in an apartment. Health. They are generally quite a healthy breed. They live to about 13 to 14. But the health things you've got to be wary of are the bone tumours on their legs. They sometimes get very small bone tumours. And also they can suffer from bloating. So just a few things to be aware of. Shedding. Even though they're a smooth-haired dog, and don't get me wrong, each dog is different, but for shedding, they're quite light shedders. And Lori, when I was talking to her about her greyhound, she mentioned that actually she's an interior designer as well as a teacher. And one thing for her was she didn't want a dog that was shedding too much. And she said, I had everything white in her apartment, and Zeta, who we're going to hear about later, was a black coat. She said very, very rarely would you see hair, and it mainly happened in the summertime when she started shedding, or going into the summertime. So the greyhound is a very, very adaptable, athletic, and has got great history behind it. So don't overlook it. Now, what we're going to do after the break is to hear from Lori, who actually owned a greyhound, and see if this dog is the one for you. I'm here today with my friend, colleague, and a greyhound owner, Lori Covello Phillips. We're going to be talking to her why she chose the greyhound as a breed and give us some insight into looking after and living with the greyhound. So, hello, Lori.
Hey, all you cool dogs and puppies. I can't.
She's trying to do a quote from, what's it from?
Carol Baskin.
And why is it cool dogs and what were you saying? What was it?
She starts everything with, hey, all you cool cats and kittens. And I thought I'd give it a go, but I realised I'm not famous enough to be dropping things like that at the moment.
No, she's not. Anyway, we're going to be talking about greyhounds, not tiger. What's it called?
Tiger King.
Tiger King. So let's talk about why did you choose the greyhound as your dog?
Well, I did not originally want to pick a greyhound. I had no real appeal for greyhounds, but because of our working lifestyle, my husband and I both worked full time, we really struggled to rescue dogs from other charities because they are generally very stringent with their regulations, as they should be. And even though we enlisted a dog walker daily, they said that they're not happy really for their dog sometimes to be with full-time working couples. So we came across the greyhound because this is actually a breed of dog that is recommended for working families due to the fact that they sleep, like you said, 20 hours a day. And I thought, this cannot be true. There is no such thing as any sort of pet that would sleep for that long, but they really, really do. So that's what brought us around to them. And then ever since, I've just had such a soft spot for them. They are the loveliest, most docile, gorgeous dogs. And like you said, there are so many of them waiting to be rescued from the tracks, especially, that I really would love if more people would put greyhounds in the spotlight and perhaps overlook their waif-like, bony appearance and just see what a gentle and loving dog they are.
Because I do think that's what put people off, really, the look of them, because nowadays the popular dogs are these sort of squashed, stocky dogs with the squash noses, such as the French Bulldog and the Pug. And as you say, they do get overlooked. Mm-hmm. And you chose to adopt a dog. Were you looking at a breed in particular? Were you just thinking, I just want to adopt any dog. I don't mind if it's a mongrel. I don't mind if it's a mixed. I don't mind if it's a pedigree. or and you just came across the greyhound, or did you have a dog in mind?
So I wasn't really that picky about the breed of the dog, as long as it wasn't a dog that was renowned for having extremely high energy or needing somebody around at home all day. We were very careful to look at not picking out a dog just because it was cute, but picking out a dog because it would work with our lifestyle, but also that the dog would be happy in that lifestyle. So that's what eventually brought us around to the greyhound, are all of those aspects which really work for working people. And they really do sleep when you are not in the house. We recorded our dog one day to see what she did whilst we were out, and she just followed the sun and slept in different positions. So she really is the perfect dog.
And they do like the sun and the warmth, as we mentioned. Could you give to our listeners any tips, advice or knowledge on living with them or training them, or anything that you thought actually they chase prey? That was one thing that was a real issue, or the with the cats, because they do say that make sure your greyhound is used to cats because they see them as a hare and could chase them, etc.
Yes, so it's so funny that you say that, because my dog had a very high prey drive, especially after coming off the tracks in Ireland. We adopted her only a couple of weeks after she had been rescued from the tracks. Hence, any small moving object that was fluffy, she would just absolutely barrel after. And this was not to attack. This was due to what had been bred and trained into her. We used to have her go to, it was like a doggy daycare, but in a field with a group of other dogs every day. And she got excluded from that group. They really persevered with her, but the other dogs would want to play, the little chihuahuas would want to play, or the Bichon Frise would want to play. And she'd start to play, but her version was absolutely barreling into them at 40 miles per hour. So these little puppies would just start tumbling down the hill. She just didn't understand.
And then she was expelled.
They couldn't do it any longer. They said that it's just not fair to the little dogs who their little legs would be going as fast as they possibly could. And in two strides, she would just absolutely steamroller them. So bless her, she only wanted to play, but she didn't understand. I found that when walking her, that prey drive would be more difficult, because I think the restraint of not being able to go after a dog made her very anxious. So I'd be careful if you were adopting a rescue greyhound. They are absolutely lovely, like I said, but you just need to be prepared that they will need quite a bit of training, some of them, to socialise well with other dogs. It is a process. Yeah.
And so, we were talking there. We haven't mentioned its name, or her name, sorry. Do you want to say the name and how you came about it?
Yes, so her name was Zita. And we picked that because my husband is a mathematician, and quite frankly, he was doing his math exams and he was just working with these Greek mathematical words and symbols all day, and he just put that forward. We couldn't quite find the right name for her, because sometimes when you get a dog, you go for something that's a little bit fluffy or cutesy, and she just didn't suit either of those, because she is so elegant and waif-like that almost you'd want her to have a name like Margaret or something refined. Yeah,
Do you know what, when I think of a greyhound, I love thinking like Margaret or Margot or something.
Yes, Margot would be perfect.
Yeah Zita, but I do like the Zita, it's quite sort of,
yes,
different.
We used to call her Z or ZZ. And that did suit her because it's quite sleek, like, yeah, she was. So, yes.
Yeah. So hopefully that's given you quite a lot of insight into greyhounds. And one thing is, the greyhound didn't come over to Chicago. She's now living with Lori's parents. What made you make that move to decide? I know you always wanted to live in Chicago, but how did you decide? Was your parents okay with taking on Zita? And I know you looked into bringing her to Chicago, but again, the winters were an issue for you, which I just mentioned. How's she fitting into you with your mum looking after her?
So this was an incredibly difficult decision, and when we made the commitment to come to Chicago, we had every intention of bringing her with us. Because of some circumstances with accommodation, etc., we couldn't do that. But when it came down to it, I do think that was the best decision, because in our British winters, she would not go outside. We used to have a parka for her and a turtleneck and a scarf and a hat for her to go outside in mild British winters. And she would still have all four paws on the threshold of our house and have to be pushed by her bum outside into the winter. So this was not the place for her. So she has been rehomed by my parents. They were a little bit reluctant at first because she's such a large dog. And they also have a jug called Frank, a Jack Russell pug mix.
Oh, okay.
So they were a little bit nervous about that initially. But actually, Frank is far more hard work than Zita is, because even though she's large, they're so delicate and dainty with everything they do, and they just curl up into a tiny ball and sleep there all day. So she's getting on really well.
Thank you. And hopefully, listening to this podcast and hearing Lori's experience, you might reconsider or even consider the Greyhound as a loving family pet for you. Thanks, Lori, for coming in, and I will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.